Wake Up with Hannah Murray.
Good morning. Joining us on the line now is Nicholas Martin. He's the co-founder of Flea Market Insiders. Nicholas and Ashley are two vintage and design lovers who enjoy travelling the world to discover antique-related venues and new flea markets. On their website, you can find the best markets to buy books, vinyl, vintage clothes and furniture all over the world. Good morning, Nicholas.
Good morning, Hannah. Thank you very much for inviting me on to your program.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. So when did you first discover your love of flea markets?
Well, I'd say rather unexpectedly. Actually, it's back in 2009, I was working in Paris as a senior PR consultant, and I just decided to buy a one-way ticket to Austria to work there with an antique dealer, and my weekends were dedicated to scouring flea markets in Upper Austria, something I was not familiar with yet. And the weeks were used to sell the items we had found at the flea markets to other antique dealers. And as a side project, I started taking pictures of the most stunning items we would find at the flea markets to share them around. And since Facebook was still in its infancy and Instagram did not exist at all, I'm talking about 2010, mm-hmm. I started my own blog, Flea Market Insiders. So basically I'd post pictures of my finds and people would comment on them. Slowly I started gathering a small community with which I shared flea market shopping tips, reviews of flea markets and antique fairs I had visited. And in fact, reviews were working really well, much better than the photo posting. So I decided to turn Flea Market Insiders into a blog specialized in covering flea markets around the world. And fast forward to 2016, and based on the success of Flea Market Insiders and input I received from my readers, I decided to move from, I'd call that a linear storytelling. Since all review ended up buried under a stack of more recent stories, I moved that to a more interactive one. That's why I created Flea Market. It's a mix of the word flea market and map, which is basically a flea market catalog showcasing the best 300 flea markets and antique fairs in the world. The website features an interactive map, a calendar, and recently, until a couple of weeks ago, a series of 2-3 days flea market itineraries to cities like Paris, London, Berlin, Rome, New York, and many more to come. And, well, that's pretty much how it started, actually.
Fantastic. And do you have some favourite flea markets that you like to travel to regularly?
I do. Well, I'm French, so maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I love two flea markets in Paris. One is, my absolute favourite is the flea market of Puisport-Devant. It's in the southern part of Paris, in the 14th district. It's tucked in a small corner of the city. It hosts like around 300 flea market dealers. And I really like it because you can find great items there for a small price, actually. They're not overcharging you like in Saint-Ouen-Clignancourt, which is Paris' most famous flea market and one of the most famous flea markets in the world, which hosts more than 2,000 flea market sellers. Yeah, it's really big, but it's more antiques-oriented. You can find really amazing pieces. I'd say some sellers, some vendors over there, they have items which are even better than what you can find in the Louvre, in the museum. I mean, it's top museum quality, yeah, because it's worth a lot of money. So those kind of things, it's this kind of hidden part of the iceberg. Something, yeah, the items between... Yeah, antique dealers, they're not selling them to museum or for a hefty price.
I'm interested.
So basically those that are the one I really like, but there are many more, like everywhere. When I'm traveling abroad, I'm trying to hit flea markets because it's better than a museum. You get there and you get a feeling of the culture.
I mean, I'm interested to know the difference. When I was younger, my grandma used to love going to jumble sales. And I don't remember there being a massive difference between jumble sales and flea markets in the sense that it was just what people had in their houses that they wanted to get rid of. Some of it was junk, basically. But junk can mean something to somebody else, of course. And everything was really, really cheap. I mean, I know this was a few years ago, ago, but it was like 5 pence for that, 10 pence for that. You know, if it was a pound, you'd think, oh, that's quite expensive. But this was a few years ago, as I said. But now it seems sometimes flea markets, as you say, can be really upmarket, and you can buy very expensive antiques at flea markets. So they're not necessarily cheap.
Yeah, that's true. All the more so as for the past years, all things vintage have become really trendy. So there's even brands imitating antiques. So the fact that you have like companies producing, like in China, producing fake vintage items just makes the price of real vintage items go up. And also, there's something to keep in mind is with the development of technology and the availability of the internet everywhere and smartphones, vendors and also sellers, vendors have the ability to check on the internet what the selling is worth actually and compare benchmark on eBay, Etsy or First Dibs, for instance. If what they're owning is worth some money, and that way they have access to quick information, and that also helps raise the price. So it's true that most flea markets, when you go there, vendors will stick a high price on their items, but that's where the haggling comes in the game. When you see a price, most items sold at the flea market don't carry a price tag, and if they do, it does not reflect the real price of the item. So the idea is to haggle up. It's one of the first thing to do at the flea market. It's one of my first tip. It's haggle. I mean, you have to go low. The starting price should be half of the price you were actually willing to pay, or of the price on the price tag. So you have to go low, but not so low as it would insult the vendor. But you have to play there. You have to haggle. It's part of the game. And actually, the vendor is expecting you to haggle. I know flea market vendors who are like, oh, this tourist, he just came in, he picked that up and paid the price. And I mean, it takes away some of the fun of selling also. Hmm. So
the thing is with haggling that I sometimes worry about is, If you don't know how much something is worth, you can maybe offend someone if you go in too low, or if they say, no, I'm not going below that price. You don't know whether they're still trying to just take too much money or whether it's actually worth that price.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we don't have a general knowledge of what something is worth or if it's worth more or less. You feel it. If you see a fine piece of furniture that looks like 19th century, you're not going to start at like 20 euros. You might want to see how the vendor reacts to your first price offer. If you see that he's offended, just try to crack a joke, put the pressure down, but the most important thing is to stay polite at all time. Mm. It's true that I've heard at the flea market, like some vendors starting to scream, like, "Hey, I'm not giving that away at 2 euros." But it's true that the price was really low, and then it depends on where you're going. There are flea markets in Paris. Maybe vendors are more like, you know, like typical French, and they're gonna start. Arguing with you, but it's in a good way. They don't mean to be rude, or it's just to open the negotiation.
Mm, okay, so just be respectful and have fun with it.
Have fun with it, and it will be all fine. And there's also one thing: to bring the price down, you can also point out flaws. If a piece of furniture is missing a drawer, or some crockery is a little bit broken. This can serve as a basis for negotiation.
Mm, definitely. And I understand you're looking for a bigger flat to accommodate all the things, the amazing things you've picked up in flea markets.
We found it actually. We're still like trying to find where to put our furniture. I just have in front of me like boxes filled with flea market items, I swear, just like in front of me, and it's been sitting in boxes for more than a year. We just needed all the furniture to put them on because I'm an avid collector of vintage cameras.
Oh,
I have like have 50 of them, and I just had to slow down. So that's why I'm trying to focus more on my blog, go less to the flea market, which is like, it's really hard, because when I go to the flea market, I suddenly want to buy stuff.
Must be very addictive.
It's very addictive. It's like going fishing. You don't know what your morning's going to look like. You just wake up at 4 a.m. because you have to. It's another thing of the flea market. You have to hit the flea market early in the morning. It's as the thing goes, the early bird gets the worm. And as I say, if you don't need a flashlight, you're already too late. So going to the flea market, when a flea market is advertised to start at 8 or 7 a.m, till they are 4 a.m. Like, for example, here in Vienna, in Austria, there's a famous flea market. It's called the Flohmarkt am Naschmarkt, and it starts at 7 a.m. But my friends, antique dealers, they go there at 4 a.m. With a flashlight, and it's where you find the best deals.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well,
because then, sorry.
Go on.
As the day goes, then you have to really get your hands dirty and search in boxes where nobody went before. So
yeah. That makes sense. If people want to find out more information and get some good tips on some good flea markets, fleamarketinsiders.com is the website. We've been chatting to Nicholas Martin today. Nicholas, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Hannah.